Gideon was our firstborn, and he was a pretty easy baby. We had friends, the kids cried all the time, and they were kind of bratty. We were like, man, we got this parenting thing down. We are good at this. And then we had our second child, and it was a girl. And that changed everything, right? I mean, totally different ball game. She would cry all the time. Gideon would sleep in the car. She would scream. But we did find out that if we played the Black Eyed Peas on repeat, she would sleep. So this is confession time in church. My Humps song I have heard way too many times for anyone to, you know, have ever wanted to hear. And so it's funny, as my kids grow and mature, I see that there's not this one-size-fits-all answer for each kid, right? The more I have, I'm like, how are you all raised in the same house, fed the same food, have the same parents, and have such different personalities? I mean, two of my kids last night went in as the same basic costume for Halloween, and both of them agreed to shave their heads. But one of them was like, no, there's still hair on my head. I want to be bald. I'm like, you want me to get the razor out and just shave your head? He's like, yep, that's what I want. I'm like, all right, you know. I was like, we might get free lunch after church. Somebody's going to feel bad for you, but, you know, like, let's see how this works. And so we shaved his head. And so it's so different. Each kid, each personality, but fortunately the Word of God kind of gives us direction and principles, and that's what we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks. I found as a parent, there's kind of two things that really pull directions in my life of how I raise my kids. Number one is consumerism, right? There's always something new that they want or need. Mostly want than need, right? You got the Xbox One, you got the PlayStation 4, you got the Wii U, and there's different games on each, and you got tablets, and you got phones, you got iPhones, you got iPods, and you got all these things that they want and their friends have, and they, you know, and so that's an issue that we have to deal with. And the other is experience. We live in a culture where we have opportunity to give our kids lots of experiences, and we tend to make our kids very experience rich but relationship poor. And so what I want to challenge us as a church is to kind of switch that dynamic a little bit as we look at the Word of God. You know, we want our kids to see the world. We want them to make the team. We want them to get into that club, to try this, to taste that, to go there and get the T-shirt. But instead, we sacrifice some relational aspects. And there's nothing wrong with being a parent, wanting them to be healthy, wanting them to be happy, wanting them to be successful, wanting them to move out when they're 18 and not come back. Right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There are things that we desire as parents. But as I counsel with adults and as I talk to adults, no one ever comes to me and says something like, hey, you know what? I think I'm not good at managing my money because my parents didn't let me go on that trip to New York in eighth grade. If only I had been able to go on that trip, I would be a much better person and be able to financially manage my money. No one ever says my marriage problems were because we had a really crummy data plan growing up, right? And if my parents had just got me more Google access, I would have a better marriage today. No one says I can't keep a job because I didn't make first chair in band. And if I had made first chair, my parents had just paid for those extra lessons and, you know, encouraged me more, I would be more successful. No one ever says I suffer from depression because I was denied a robust online community of friends growing up. Those aren't the issues we deal with when we talk about counseling, when we talk to people. And so I want to challenge us. Sometimes as parents, we have this idea that, well, we were kids once, so we know how to parent. Byron, I can't help but looking at your shirt going, man, that's a good-looking shirt back there, all right? I mean, that is, you walked in, and it's just, I got great taste. We look at it, and we go, well, I was a kid, I know how my parents raised me, and I know what they did well, and what I don't want to repeat, and those kind of things. And we tend to think we know how to parent because we were kids once, which is kind of silly, because you'd never go to the doctor and go, I had surgery once, so, you know, I got this figured out, right? Teachers experience this all the time. You know, people come in and tell teachers how they're supposed to do their jobs because I was in school. And pastors experience this all the time because, you know, everybody's like, I go to church. I know how it's supposed to go. But we tend to do this as parents is go, yeah, I kind of got this parenting thing figured out. What I want us to do is dig into God's word over the next couple weeks and see what God really says about parenting, where God's really pushing us. At the end of the service, I want you to go back and look at the soundboard in that booth back there. Don't touch it or Darwin might punch you. But look at the soundboard, right? And if you've ever seen a soundboard, it has all these knobs and buttons and slides and I mean, it's just, I think they just make them up. I think they just put them on there to make people feel like they know what they're doing, right? I don't think they actually work. It's confusing as heck. And I feel like that's how parenting is sometimes. You know, somebody's over here saying, well, if you just adjust your kid in this area, they'll be a little warmer balanced. Or if you just slide this up here. And as a pastor, I've intentionally stayed away from soundboards because if you know how to work something, people ask you to work it. I'm like, you know, it's pretty good. And so I know how to do three things on the soundboard. I know how to turn it on. I know how to turn up the volume, and I know how to unmute my mic. And that's all that's important to me, right? I can do those three things. And so as parenting, I want us over the next couple of weeks to really dig into three things, three dials on your kid's life that if you can crank them up and get the focus on this instead of consumerism or experience or that, I think will have the greatest impact on your children and your children's children. So here are the three dials that I want us to pay attention to. Number one, the relationship your child has with their parents. You and your child's relationship is one of the most important things in their lives. All right? Number two is the relationship your child has with God, because that's going to exceed parents, right? At one time, your kids are going to start with you, and then they'll meet God, and then you'll die, hopefully, you know, and then they'll continue their relationship with God, right? That's how it's supposed to work. Their kids are supposed to outlive us. And then the third one is the relationship the child has with other people. Who you are putting in your kid's life, who you are getting your kids around, who are you saying, I want you to have influence over my children, who you are doing this. And I think if we focus on those three things in our kid's life, we ask those questions over and over again in my kid's life. All right, my 13-year-old, how's my relationship with him? Are we spending time together? Are we talking? Is there some honesty? Is there openness? Are we always fighting, right? What's that relationship look like? Number two, what's his relationship with God like? Has he decided to trust Jesus? Does he believe Jesus is the Messiah, the only way to heaven? Does he spend time in the Word of God? And then number three, who influences him? Who's he around, or who do I need to put him around that he can learn from and mature and grow? And I think if we look at those three relationships, those three dials, and crank those up in our kids' life, they will have the biggest impact. If you look back on your life, your relationship with your parents had a tremendous impact on your life, good or bad, right? Your relationship with God continues today to have a tremendous influence on your life. Heck, y'all are here today. And then your relationship with others, there's friendships that you look back on and go, man, that was a great friendship. It still is. I'm so grateful for that. And there's other ones that you're like, ooh, my mom's right about him. You know, or, oh, if I had only been smart enough to see. And so we want to protect, we want to guard our kids. In Proverbs chapter 7 is what we're going to look at today. This is one of my favorite Proverbs. It's a great story. And the whole book of Proverbs is this. It's Solomon, the wisest man ever, writing down wisdom for his son. Right? He's investing in that relationship with his son, saying, hey, these are things I have learned. These are things I have experienced. These are things I want you to know. This is Solomon dialing up by writing this book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of his relationship with his kid. Now, most of us probably won't write a Bible book, right, for our child. That's probably not going to happen. But we have that opportunity to continue to influence. So Proverbs chapter 7, here we go. We're going to read the whole thing. My son, he starts off with, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress and her smooth words. For at the window of my house I have looked out through the lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the streets near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening times of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face says to him, I have offered sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, covered linens from Egyptian linen. This is like, you know, ancient seduction right here, right? This is pillow talk, what's happening, right? She's throwing woo at him, all right? And so, I have spread my couch with coverings, covered linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, ooh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come and let us take a fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. Yeah, red flag, right? He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. And with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into the snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. What I want us to look at as we look at that dial of cranking up parental influence is this, that a good parent instructs their children. That's part of the responsibility of being a parent, right? And here's the good news. Some of you are like, well, my kids are grown. You don't stop being a parent. God has put you in that place of mom or dad, no matter what age your children are, to instruct them, to speak wisdom into their life, to speak life into their life. And you don't get to go, okay, well, you're 18, so I'm out, right? We may feel like that sometimes. We may get frustrated sometimes. But God has put you in their life to instruct them. 1-4, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. My dad phrased that differently, right? If you disobey me, I'm going to take you out. That was more how that came out from dad. But keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Anybody told your kids that this week? No, right? But this is essentially what we're saying to our children. In whatever way or vernacular we have, is we say this to our kids. Bind them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call insight your intimate friend. You want a prayer for your child right there, 7-4. Lord, let Gideon say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my intimate friend. Pray that over your kids, man. Let God work and do that. Solomon's writing this to his children. Here's some of the ways we instruct our children, right? We use verbal instruction. What are some things your parents said to you over and over and over and over and over again? Look both ways before. Right. I mean, like, you know, how many times did your parents yell that at you? Mine was, shut the door. You weren't raised in a barn. You know, that happened. I'm not trying to air condition the whole neighborhood, that kind of thing. What else? Nothing good happens after midnight. My mom said that over and over again, right? My dad, don't touch the thermostat. That was one of those rules in our house. Those were just things. Brush your teeth. I got told that a whole lot growing up. And take a bath. Yeah, there's some things that as parents we just go, really? Literally after, you know, Silas broke his arm, we were up here and he was like, hey, smell my arm to people because, you know, the cast kind of starts to stink. And somebody just, it was like, well, what about the rest of you? When was the last time you took a shower? He's like, And I was like, when was the last time you took a shower? You know, I started doing the math. I was like, it may have been when before you broke your arm. It may have been a week since you've showered. So, yeah, I got to get on that when we get home, right? He's like, I can't get my cast wet. I can't shower. I'm like, that's not how it works, buddy. You still get to rest, watch the rest of you. And so those things we say as parents, we have the opportunity to give verbal instruction to our kids, to tell them what's important. This is your curfew. This is your grades we expect. These are the rules of our house. Verbal instruction is incredibly important. We also give behavioral instruction to our children, right? They're watching what we do. Even if we're not telling them what's important or what we value, they're watching and learning because of our behavior. You know, like, hey, kids, don't do drugs. They're bad, but you get drunk every night. They're going, huh, what's the difference? You know, they start to have those questions in their lives. You say, hey, don't watch movies that have profanity or nudity in it. And then as soon as they go to bed, what do you turn on? HBO. You know, I mean, like, you crank it up, right? Hey, you, church is really important. You should read your Bible, but you have to dust yours off every Sunday when you bring it to church, kind of thing. They learn from our behavior. They learn what is valuable. They see where we spend our time, where we spend our money, what we're passionate about. Ask your kids that question. Hey, what am I passionate about? What do I really care about? You'll get some interesting answers. You know, it's kind of fun or scary to see how that works. We also instruct them with our attitude. Our attitude toward authority. We see this over and over again in the news, right? There's people coming into confrontations with police officers. Now, you know, I always have a good attitude when I'm talking to a police officer. Not because I'm always happy about the circumstances, right? Not because I'm always right, but because he has a badge and, more importantly, a gun, and that, you know, causes concern for me. I want him to know that whatever he says goes. My kids, if a police officer tells you to do something, you do it. You obey. All right, because I don't want you to be on the news. That's not how I want this to play out for your life. And so I give instructions on their attitude. And so as parents, we have these opportunities God has given us. Solomon's writing this letter to his kids, but at the same time, he's spending other things. We see in studies over and over again, the one relationship that has the most influence on charting the course of your children's life is the relationship they have with you as their parent. If there's a mom and dad in the home, it's a better chance that they will go to college. It's a better chance they won't wind up in jail. It's a better chance they won't wind up having children out of wedlock. There's all these things that work together when children have a good relationship. They even go so far as to say, you know, having a father and mother in the home, and then families that eat dinner together every night, again, has a bigger influence on the direction of your kid's life. Now, I can't remember ever sitting down at dinner with my parents going, you know, I really value this time. I am so grateful that mom made this food and that dad fought traffic and got home and we could all sit down and have dinner together and that they make us talk to them about our day. Never once as a child was I like, this is, man, we're like the Cleavers. You know, I mean, this is just awesome. Never. But even though it's difficult and challenging and loud and frustrating and busy and whatever it looks like in your home, sometimes you're like, oh, it's not even worth it. But we see study after study, opportunity after opportunity, person after person that traces back that relationship, that those are those times where we need to instruct our kids. Parents, I want to challenge you with this. Love to your children is spelled T-I-M-E. All right, that's how you spell love to your kids, the time you spend with them. They may not always appreciate it. You know, when I was playing soccer in high school, I was never like, my dad's at another one of my games. You know, I mean, he just came to my games. I didn't care. If he didn't go to my game, I wouldn't care. I wasn't, you know, I was hanging out with my friends and cheerleaders. That's what I cared about, you know. It wasn't that dad was there, but looking back, I was like, man, it made a difference that dad was there and invested. Find those times in your kid's life that you can invest with them. Find those times where you can hang out with your children. Some dads, you know, hunting, fishing. Some dads are fixing things and building things. Some dads, man, it's football and sports. My family, it's a lot of comic books and sci-fi, right? I mean, that's what we bond over, those kind of things. Find those things that you can invest in your kids. Gideon and I are getting ready to go to Peru this month. That's one of the things I want to do with my kids is go on a trip when they turn 13 and just spend some time with them. You know, I'm excited about it. I don't know if he is, all right? Do we get service in Peru? Like, you know, those are the kind of questions he has. What's my data plan in Peru look like? But find those ways to carve stuff out. When our kids turn 10, they do something with their mom. They go on Gideon went on a mother-son retreat. Crystal took Micaiah and did this like girls' weekend with massages and fingernail stuff, and you know whatever girls do. I don't know. And they did this, and somebody goes, "Well, that's kind of weird." Yes, that's our goal, right? I don't want average. I want our family to be weird. I want our kids to know that they are important to us and that we put time and things aside to spend time with them because they are valuable. They are gifts from God. They are treasures. And right now, God's given us that opportunity to invest in them. And so we want to take advantage of it. A good parent instructs their children. You get that opportunity. It doesn't end when they get in college. It doesn't end when they have kids, right? You get to invest then in your kids through their kids and spending time with their kids and giving them those breaks. I mean, God gives us the thing. Families are, for as long as we're alive, is God's plan for that. A good parent also teaches from experience, right? As Solomon's writing this, he says, "For at the window of my house, I look through the lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along through the avenue near her corner, taking the road to her house, and in the evening time and in the darkness." My notes cut off about halfway, so I'm like missing words out of that scripture. I'm just going to read it off the screen next time. All right, I didn't realize that until I got here. But this is what he says. He says, "I've seen this." Right, he talks to his kids. He's not like, "Well, statistically speaking, you know, or the textbook says," or, you know, he's like, "This is what I have seen. This is what I have experienced. This is what's real. I talk to my kids about my dad killing himself because it's real. It's a thing. My dad drank enough alcohol one night that he thought it was a good idea to put a gun to his head and pull the trigger. What do we learn from this, right? What can we learn? We talk about this. I have a friend from high school that overdosed on heroin. Gideon turned 13. We talked about drugs a lot. We picked up this book called Beautiful Boy. It's a book about a guy whose kid just got messed up with meth. And I just made him sit there as I read chapters to him. And I'm crying, you know, reading this book, right? And I'm saying, this is stuff that will kill you. Stay away from this. I've seen it. You're my boy. Please heed my lessons. Listen to my wisdom. Bind it on your heart. Stay away from this stuff. It is death. We talk about, you know, my sister and how her alcohol addiction is just wrecking her family. And it's not to bash people, right? But it's like, this is reality. There are things out there that will destroy you. And I've seen it, and I've experienced it, and I pray to God you're smart enough to learn from my experiences, learn from my mistakes, and not repeat them. You'll make plenty of your own, right? I mean, there's plenty of new ones that you'll find, but I want you to learn from mine. You know, share your life with your kids. You know, there was a time where Gideon said, you know, "Dad, have you ever done drugs?" And my answer was always this: "Well, what do you think, buddy?" And when he was young, he's like, "No." I'm like, "Okay." And now he's a teenager, right? "Dad, have you ever done drugs?" He's like, "Well, what do you think, buddy?" Well, all right. Now we can talk about this, right? And it's not like you just dump it all on them no matter what age. I'm not like, "Silas, we're going to talk about heroin today," right? You're 6 and it's time you understand. But you feel that out. Corrie Ten Boom, had this great passage of one of the things her dad taught her. She said she was getting on a train one time, and her dad took up the suitcase and put it on the overhead rack. And as he sat down, she looked at him and said, "Dad, what's sexual sin?" And he just looked at his young daughter, and his response was this. He said, he got back up, pulled down the suitcase, and said, "I want you to put this up there." And she tried to pick it up and reach, and she couldn't do it. And he said, "There's some things that, as a parent, I'm strong enough to bear and do for you. And when the time's right, I will talk to you about this, when you're able to carry it." And so as parents, we have to be wise about how we instruct our children and what we share with them, right? And there's timing and there's that ability. But he writes this. He's saying, look, this is what I've seen. When Solomon's writing this to his sons, how old do you think they are? They're probably hitting teenage years, right? They're probably hitting puberty where they're starting to notice girls and starting to go, oh, I'm a prince. And being a prince and having a lot of money and being influential apparently can get you a lot of things, right? Women are one of those. And so he's like, boys, look, here's what I've seen. My 700 concubines and 300 wives can attest to this. I know this. I've learned from experience, right, boys? This is dangerous. You are always going to be tempted by women. Boys, you are always going to be tempted by your flesh. It's part of it. But here's what I've seen and here's what I've experienced. I want to encourage you to share your life with your kids. Share your hurts, share your pain, share your motives, share your fears, share your joys, share your triumphs, share those things that you've overcome and how God has worked in your life and how he's changed you, because that motivates and moves them. And then the final thing I want us to look at as we dial up that relationship knob with our kids and the parent is a good parent protects their children. And I shouldn't have to say that, right? We all go, okay, we know that, and we know what our job is as parents. We're supposed to protect our kids. But protecting them physically and protecting them spiritually are different things. We're supposed to do both. We're called to do both. If I told you that in kids' space right now, there's a 55% chance that your children might die today, how many of you would sign your kid in? Right, none of us, right? None of us would go, oh yeah, we have 55% chance, that's all right. If I told you that 50% of marriages in our culture end in divorce because we aren't equipping our children to jump into that, right? We aren't equipping them to look for the right kind of spouse. We're not preparing them to be the type of person that the type of person they want to marry will be attracted to. We have to protect them spiritually, physically, financially. As parents, we get this opportunity. Verse 21, here's what he says. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All right, he's like, watch out. It's going to sound good. It's going to look good. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter or a stag is caught fast. This is where it's leading. It looks good. It smells good. It sounds good. Everything looks good about it, but it's like an ox going to the slaughter. It's like a deer caught in a snare till an arrow pierces its liver. It's a weird body part to choose. Maybe anatomically, like piercing the liver is a really, it can't be a good thing. But I mean, I might have chose the heart or there might have been a different organ I chose as it pierces your appendix. I don't know why, but as an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. Teach your kids what is dangerous, what will cost them their life. And I'm not just talking about physically. Because if we are lucky, we get 80, maybe 90 years on this life, on this earth, in this shell, in this tent, in this dwelling place. And then we have eternity. And we have to invest in our kids' eternal destination. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth.
Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, and going down to the chambers of death. Parents, our goal here is to equip you to have these relationships with your kids. Next week, we'll talk about dialing up that God gauge and how to invest and turn that in to, with your kids, and how to tune it in different age groups, different times, different opportunities, because it's not over. And sometimes your kids are responsive, and sometimes they're like, leave me alone, right? And so every kid is different, and everybody's a challenge, and we pray over it, and we look over it, and there's not one surefire way to do it. But as parents, we have an opportunity. We have a calling. Being a parent is a blessing. It is a gift. Sometimes it feels like a taxing chore, and oh my gosh, is this ever going to end? But it is good. And the God's word gives us this direction. So my challenge to us is to go home and ask and to pray, maybe talk with your spouse about this, but how can we be more involved in our kids' life? What do we need to do to dial up that relational aspect of it? Maybe it's, you know, one-on-one time once a week over donuts or something like that. Because Gideon came in to be a teenager, we were just butting heads constantly, just arguing, you know, and my sarcasm was not helping the situation. It's strange to figure. I mean, like, it seems like a no-brainer, right? And so I just said, look, I'm not going to fight with you over this stuff anymore. Here's what I'm going to do. From now on, when you frustrate me, when you argue me, I'm just going to hug you. I'm just going to wrap my arms around you. I'm just going to hold on to you. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to hug you till my frustration's gone. So far, it's been working. You know what's worse than my sarcasm? Apparently my hugs. I didn't realize that was going to be so painful. It might not work with Micaiah, right? I mean, I had to pray. I had to say, God, look, I don't like this relationship with my kid right now. I don't like where we are. I don't like that we're arguing all the time. This is not what I want. This is my boy. I want it to be good. God, what should I do? And I felt like God said, hug him. All right, I'll torture him that way, Lord, if that's what you want, you know. It's just figure out those ways. Talk. Spouses, sometimes you guys can do it. Sometimes it feels like we're, you know, on different sides or whatever, and somebody's sticking up for them. And so, yeah, we got to be on the same side, spouses. Husband, wife, we got to be on the same page, right? And usually we are. We just have to get down to what we're on the same page about. We have to file it down. Sometimes we got to go all the way down to Jesus and build back up from there. All right, we want our kids to know Jesus. Okay, how do we do that? And figure out that way. But you have an incredible opportunity to determine the direction of your kid's life, not by buying them the newest iPhone, not by making sure they have a car when they're 16 or that they get into the right college, but by having a relationship with them. That is the most valuable thing you can do right now for your children.